A very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, November 8th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 Live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington, our marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, tomorrow marks 8 months after the disappearance of activist Itai Zamara. Bishop Anselimo Magaya of Divine Destiny, in conjunction with other organizations and the Itai Zamara Trust, will hold a prayer meeting at Africa Unity Square to mark the day he was abducted.
We notify Zimbabweans with heavy hearts the fact that it's now 8 months after the disappearance of Itai Zamara, and it doesn't look like our government is caring about that.
Vendors in Gokwe are crying foul over the continued economic decline and the cash crunch in the country, blaming this for the weak purchasing power by their clients in Gokwe.
My name is Angeline Mujinji. I am in Gokwe town. The situation in Gokwe is too tough. No money. We are working in Gokwe as vendors, but it's too tough. We are not getting anything.
Singer and activist Selma Mutukudzi visits Washington campaigning for the Electrify Africa bill.
So I came to Washington to help with the campaign of electrifying Africa.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. Tomorrow marks 8 months after the disappearance of activist Itai Zamara. Bishop Anselimo Magaya of Divine Destiny, in conjunction with other organizations and the Itai Zamara Trust, will hold a prayer meeting at Africa Unity Square to mark the day he was abducted. Zamara has been missing for 8 months now, ever since he was abducted from his home area of Glenview on March 9th this year. Bishop Magaya tells us more on the issue.
Yes, we notify Zimbabweans with heavy hearts the fact that it's now 8 months after the disappearance of Itai Zamara, and it doesn't look like our government is caring about that. But we want to remind Zimbabweans that as the church, we are very concerned, and as the voice of conscience to the nation, we will continue to press hard for the release of Itai Zamara, or at least for the accounting of his whereabouts. So tomorrow, Monday, we are actually commemorating his disappearance and actually praying at Africa Unity Square, where he used to gather with his colleagues.
Are you going to be involving other organizations in this prayer meeting and his family as well? Who will be involved?
Primarily, we're going to be having Zimbabwe Divine Destiny as the people that are going to be organizing, together with Itai Zamara Trust. Also going to be inviting various pastors from different church organizations, as well as various civil society. They will also be invited, and we will not also exclude political parties. See, when we planned this, we had not really extended an invitation to these political parties, but we actually thinking that tomorrow morning we should be able to just send quick emails to them, because this is not going to be a long thing. It's just going to be happening over lunch. So I think people should be able to attend without much difficulties, even at short notice.
Are you going to be having any other follow-up meetings after this one on Monday to mark the 8 months?
Yeah, we will actually review that tomorrow. We will look into the impact and then see whether we are going to continue that route. But most likely, we are going to continue taking that route, probably meeting every other Monday.
What word of encouragement would you have for some Zimbabweans out there who may have lost hope that Itai Zamara will be found?
Yes, what we want to say to Zimbabweans is that they have the mandate and they have the right, God-given right, to stand at their historical action and to define their destiny and to reclaim their God-given rights.
That was Bishop Anselimo Magaya of Divine Destiny speaking to us from Harare. Vendors in Gokwe are crying foul over the continued economic decline and the cash crunch in the country, saying this is also leading to weak purchasing power from their clients. I spoke to a vendor in Gokwe to tell us what the situation is like in her area.
My name is Angeline Mujinji. I am in Igokwe town. The situation in Igokwe is too tough. No money. We are working in Igokwe as vendors, but it's too tough. We are not getting anything.
So are you then saying people are not buying your wares, or what's the situation?
They are not buying because there is no money. The money is not rotating.
And then also, what is the situation like when it comes to things like electricity?
The situation of electricity is too bad. No electricity at all. No water.
So from your point of view, what can be done to make the situation better for you?
We don't know whether our leaders are seeing these things.
How big is your family and how are you managing day to day?
My family has got 3 children, 1 girl, 2 boys.
So how do you manage day to day?
It's too tough for me because I've got no money. Father passed away later, 2008. I can't get anything for me to help me.
So on an average day, what are you selling and how much are you making?
These days, you shall come without anything from the town, even a dollar. You're not getting anything. Some of the days, you can get $3, but it's too tough. We can't afford even to pay rent.
How much is your rent monthly?
My rent monthly is $60, 2 rooms.
So what do you do when the situation comes and you can't pay your rent?
These days, we are talking to the owners of the houses, but now it's too tough for them.
You were mentioning that you're having difficulties paying your rent. When was the last time you paid your rent?
2 months later.
If you had a chance to speak to the government, what would you say to them?
It's better for them to help us because we have got no way to go. Even if they can give us some money to start other programs, even to take chickens and buy and sell them, other projects.
That was Amai Angeline Mujinji, a vendor in Gokwe. Next week, we are rolling out a series looking at First Lady Grace Mugabe. Who is she? What does she stand for? What are her political aspirations? What does the future hold for her, especially as ZANU-PF battles with the succession issue? Please tune in next week as we try to answer these questions and more. Singer and activist Selma Mutukudzi was in Washington last week at the invitation of One Campaign, an organization that fights poverty, campaigning for the Electrify Africa bill to be passed in the United States Congress. We caught up with her and asked her about her visit. Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight we have the pleasure of speaking to Afro jazz singer and activist Selma Mutukudzi, who was here in Washington, D.C. under the One Campaign, an organization that seeks to eradicate poverty. Selma was in Washington to help launch the remix of the song and video for Strong Girl and speak to legislators about the next stage of One's Poverty is Sexist campaign and the Electrify Africa legislation, which is still pending in Congress. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Selma.
Thank you so much for having me.
What were you saying to the U.S. Congress when you met them?
I tried my best to make them realize that the people that are actually suffering are the women and children. I understand the differences between our government, but I'm hopeful that for this project, they'll be able to remember the women and children that need electricity. So I'm hopeful that we might not be the first in line, but I'm hoping that something could happen for us.
And how important is it for you as an artist to stand up and stand for such a worthy cause as electricity, especially when you are talking about the issues of women and girls in Africa and per se in Zimbabwe?
That is the thing, though. Women have so many responsibilities. We take care of our children, we take care of our husbands, the household we take care of. So the empowerment of women is very important, not only for my own benefit as a woman, which I would definitely appreciate, but also remembering all the other women in the country, in the continent as a whole. And so lending my voice to such a cause was very important for me. As a woman, first of all, and as a mother, I'd want, obviously, to see us women reaching our full potential and being given equal opportunities to be able to
achieve all that we want to.
And also, while you're here in the U.S., I understand that you also just won an award. Tell us about that.
Actually, I was nominated for the African Entertainment Award. I was going up against Zahara from South Africa, Yemi Alade from Nigeria, also Tinashe from here in the States. So it was quite an honor for me to take the award home. I was not expecting to win at all because all of these women are amazing and I love their songs. So I just, you know, I give all the glory to God. It's an amazing feeling to be able to achieve such an honor.
Give us a snippet of the song. I know it's called Nguva Yangu.
Okay. Wakandi pezera nguva yangu, jindi yepera, jindi misama. Wakandi pezera nguva yangu, jindi yepera.
Now we understand why you won the award. And also, while you're here, you have been traveling with your husband, Tendai Manata, who's also a musician. How is it like for you as a woman to get that support from your husband?
Well, it's very important. We did the song Strong Girl, which was for the poverty sexist campaign that we did with One. And we actually then followed up with a remix of the song where we now included the guys from across Africa to come and support the song. We were saying that it's really important to get the men supporting what us women are fighting for and speaking up about. So it's very important for me to have my husband with me, supporting me through everything that I'm doing. And I feel blessed, really, that I've been able to do what I do and have someone who understands and supports.
Going back to Strong Girl, how important was it for you to participate in that program for One, especially when it comes to women of Africa and artists?
It was so, so important that I lend my voice to such a cause. As a woman and a mother in Africa myself, I felt I needed to use my voice and my influence to force change in the policy-making process in both my country and even across Africa. So it was very important that we do speak about it, and I was so glad that One approached me to be part of the Poverty Sexist campaign.
Thank you very much, Selma, for having been our guest.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, saying join us again next week when we'll look at other issues affecting women. Some Zimbabweans in the United Kingdom say they will continue staging peaceful demonstrations this Friday to protest the invasion of a white commercial farm owned by Philip Ranking. A Zimbabwean-born doctor, Sylvester Nyatsuro, based in the UK, with alleged links to ZANU-PF, is said to be trying to take over the farm in Mashonaland Central with a tobacco crop worth more than $360,000. Ephraim Tapa of Zimbabwe Vigil spoke to Studio 7's Jonga Kanzemiri on the issue.
We are going back to Nottingham to protest against the continued efforts by DC Dr. Nyatsuro in trying to expropriate a farm under the facilitation of the ZANU-PF patronage. We are saying this case contains all the kind of hallmarks that you would look at in terms of hypocrisy, in terms of violence, in terms of cruelty, and also the impoverishing of Zimbabwe and the driving into the ground of the economy of Zimbabwe. We are saying these guys are destroying the economy, and we must stop that. As for this doctor, surely this is double standard. He is a bright one here who runs a successful business, and we don't see any reason why you should displace a farmer whose only livelihood is that of farming and whose only crime is that of being white. It's an abuse of human rights, and that kind of perpetration must be exposed and be stopped.
Now, how is your demonstration going to be useful or of any impact? You are protesting in UK, and this is happening in Zimbabwe.
He is a bright one, so he's governed by the laws of this country. The laws of this country, and particularly those of citizenship, conferment, demand that whoever is conferred the citizenship of Britain must not go and use violent or terrorist activities or tactics. So we are saying the British must take note of this and take appropriate measures.
That was Ephraim Tapa of the Zimbabwe Vigil speaking with Jonga Kanzemiri from London. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930-13860 and 15460 shortwave frequencies, and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today I'm gladly joined by Mekleo Mapumo, who is the youth president of the United Nations Association in Zimbabwe. Mekleo, thank you so very much for joining me today on the program.
So thank you so much for having me on the program.
Recently, the United Nations Association was holding a summit focusing on the issue of climate change and the role that Zimbabweans and young people have. Can you tell me more about this program?
Thank you so much. Zimbabwe was given the mandate to actually spearhead the conference on African Youth Initiative on Climate Change, where African youths from all over the country were supposed to come up with a position paper to say this is our stance in terms of the issue of climate. As you notice that the issue of climate change has not involved youth directly. So under the African Union, when they were holding their own conference in Victoria Falls, they gave us an initiative as the youth to come up with our own position paper that we are going to forward to the head of states of the African Union, which they are also going to go with at the COP21 and say this is the African position.
And this talk of climate change, how are young people, from what you guys came up with, how are they seeing this issue?
Yeah, I think if you look at most of these issues, they are addressing the future. Like if you look at also the Agenda 2063, the post-2015 development agenda, most of these issues are talking about the next 5 years, the next 10 years, the next 15 years. And if you look at those next years, those years are years which are directly involving the youth. Hence, issues that are affecting us, like we look at climate change, it has become one of the major issues that has affected our continent.
And when we talk about climate change, Mekleo, on a very simple note, what does this mean for the average young person in Zimbabwe?
I think to an ordinary Zimbabwean, like as we all know that this season we are now heading maybe towards the farming season. Then maybe you started your own project, maybe your agricultural project, but you notice that the rains are not coming as expected. And
you said that your position paper will be forwarded to the African Union leaders. Do you think that they will be very open to taking what you as a youth and you as representatives of the youth have put together?
I think what I've noticed, like in the recent, especially this year, when the youth are being given the space to say, okay, this is our ideas, this is what we want, and then they take that information or they take those initiatives to where they are supposed to go. But usually when they get there, that's where the problem lies, I mean, that these issues are not actually being addressed well in terms of the youth perspective, mainly because maybe the person who's going to be able to stand for us and say, okay, this is what the youth want, first and foremost, that person is not a youth. And then when those issues get there, they're actually addressed to say, okay, youth want this, youth want that. But in the end of the day, that is not what is going to happen.
And in your view, is there a solution to that? Because as you were saying earlier, you know, these plans that are being set up now look at the future, 5-year plans, 10-year plans, which will directly affect the young people our age who are the ones who are calling for these changes.
Firstly, I think if there is no change, then we're just repeating the same problems that have been done in the past few years. Because there's no change, and we're just addressing our issues to the same people who have not accepted what we have been saying. But if we see a change in the mindset of the people who are accepting our issues, then definitely we are heading for a different direction.
Mekleo, as usual, I want to thank you so very much for joining me on the Youth Forum and look forward to hearing more about the programs you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much, Adi.
That was Mekleo Mapumo, Youth President of the Zimbabwe United Nations Association, joining me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, make sure you join me next week.
Now to recap on today's top stories. Tomorrow marks 8 months after the disappearance of activist Itai Dzamara and Bishop Anselmo Magaya of Divine Destiny in conjunction with other organizations and the Itai Dzamara Trust. Will hold a prayer meeting at Africa Unity Square to mark his abduction. Vendors in Gokwe are crying foul over the continued economic decline and the cash crunch in the country, saying this is also leading to weak purchasing power from clients in the area. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, November the 8th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington.